This is a Montbold Christian Fellowship sermon podcast. We hope you find this message enjoyable and inspiring.
Do you want to turn in your Bibles to Isaiah 61? I think I'm going to read it all. There's one verse in particular I want to focus on. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. And they shall rebuild the old ruins, they shall raise up the former desolations, they shall repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. Strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the foreigner shall be your ploughmen and your vine dressers. But you shall be named the priests of the Lord. They shall call you the servants of our God. You shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory you shall boast. Instead of your shame, you shall have double honour. Instead of confusion, they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land they shall possess double. Everlasting joy shall be theirs. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery for burnt offering. I will direct their work in truth and will make with them an everlasting covenant. Their descendants shall be known among the Gentiles and their offspring among the people. All who see them shall acknowledge them, for they are the posterity whom the Lord has blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its bud, and the garden causes the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. Praise you, Lord. Father, we just thank you as we open your word together. Lord, you would open our hearts. You give us, Lord, the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, your Son. Lord, that you would show us everything that is hidden in him for our benefit, everything that is ours in him, Lord. Open our hearts, Lord, that we would know it today. We thank you, Lord, that you have revealing them today in this day that we're alive in. You know that the devil is the devil's out to distract you. We're in the time of the greatest revelation that can ever be of he's revealing himself. You know, I get fed up when people talk about revelation. All you hear about is what the devil's doing. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. Yes, he says, you know what Jesus said? Look, the devil's going to do this and do that, and he's going to do this. The enemy's going to do that. Don't worry about that. I'm telling you ahead of time so that you won't worry about it. That's why he tells us ahead of time, because he commanded us not to fear and not to be dismayed. Two words, we're commanded not to be afraid, and we're commanded not to be dismayed. To be dismayed means to fall down in front of the onslaught of the enemy. In other words, what we're saying, the devil is bigger than God. Well, he's not. He's been defeated. He's been defeated. I want to talk about, just back to that scripture there, we'll come into it, but I want to talk about verse 3, to console or to appoint those who mourn in Zion. to get them beauty for ashes. I want to talk about what that mourning is and what it isn't. To give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. In particular, I want to talk about the garment of praise that God has given us. He's, what does it say later on? He has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has put on us the robes. You know, what's, you know, I think about a robe. Well, I'm talking about a kingly robe. A kingly robe that he has put on us, the garment of salvation and these kingly robes. And here he's saying that it's called the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. All right, now we can be heavy. We can be, discouraged by what's happening around about, circumstances around about us, situations around about us. We can find that heavy going, if you like. But here it's talking about a spirit of heaviness. And I just believe we are in the age of the greatest revelation of Jesus Christ. Behold, darkness will cover the earth and deep darkness the people, but the Lord will arise upon you and his glory will be seen upon you. This whole earth is waiting for that manifestation of the glory of God. And didn't God say, as surely as I live, all the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. The whole earth is going to be manifested, or God's going to manifest his glory, and the whole earth is going to see it. But there's amazing scriptures in the Bible that would seem not to make sense. You know, darkness will cover the earth, deep darkness the people, but the Lord will arise upon you. It says in Isaiah that there's a day coming that is going to be both black and light. It's going to be both darkness and night. Who can work that out? What does the Bible say in Thessalonians? We are not of the night, so that day will not come like darkness to us because we are not of the night. That day, the coming of the Lord, will be brightness. It will be glory. We're going to be lifting up. So isn't that what Jesus said? So he's talking about all these troublesome things that are coming on the earth. And he says, don't worry about it. He says, when you see these things starting to take place, what does he say? Lift up, look up, because your redemption. So there's a totally different attitude. You know, you can have, what's that old, there's a quote, two men looked out of prison bars. One saw mud, the other saw stars. And it all depended on where they were looking. And I want to ask you, where are you looking? Because God has for us a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And I want to see this start to break forth. I want to tell you it's a reality. It is a reality, this garment. Before we go, let me say this spirit of heaviness. Heaviness means you're carrying something, a weight that you shouldn't be carrying. It's what the devil tries to put on us to cause us to be stooped down, to be bowed down, to be oppressed, and we're not going to see what God wants to reveal to us. So we're in exciting times. Its aim, this spirit of heaviness, is to bring sadness, depression, hopelessness, grief, sorrow, excessive mourning. You know, there is a time to mourn. Jesus was called a man of sorrows, yet he was anointed with the oil of joy above his fellows. So, you know, we're to have this oil of joy, not only the garment of praise, but the oil of joy. But that comes second in from what I want to share. But anyway, he had the oil of joy on him. So this spirit, it wants to cause excessive mourning. You know, there's a story of Jacob. You know, the Bible says in the law that if something happens, there's a death of a family member, you're to mourn. And it gave specific days that they were to mourn. And after that, they were told, put your mourning off. You know what Jacob Jacob, when he thought his son Joseph had died, remember his brothers brought back the report, you know, they killed an animal and got his cloak and put the blood of the animal and brought it to their father and said, look, this is all we found of Joseph. It would appear that a wild animal has ripped him to shreds. And Jacob went into mourning, and when it came the end of the time of mourning, his family gathered round him to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. And you know what he said? He said, I will go down to the grave mourning. And what happens is his vision started to be lost. He started to lose his vision. You know what Psalmist says? My eye wastes away through grieving and mourning. Now, spiritually, we can apply this, that's what the devil is trying to do in our generation, to bring that spirit of heaviness upon people, create excessive mourning and grief so that we can't see what God wants to do. As I tell you what, God's got incredible things that he... I'm excited. I'm just so excited. I came in this morning, I had just tremendous joy. I nearly spat my teeth out praying here. I don't know whether you saw it, Pam. You were up there. You probably... She wouldn't say anything. She's so gracious. I'm telling Bev, it sounded funny. But I'm just getting so excited. God's going to show us stuff. But we've got to put on that garment. We've got to put it on. Whose responsibility is it to put on the garment? Yeah. Doesn't the Bible say that we're to put on the Lord Jesus Christ? Put him on. Put on the garment of praise. It's all part of, you've clothed me with the garments of salvation. We're to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, so he's trying to crush that so that we don't see what God is wanting to do. He's wanting to quench the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. So in the last days, doesn't it say in the book of Ephesians that we're to be strong in the Lord? Well, if to be in the Lord, you must have put him on. You must have that garment on. So be strong. You're not going to be strong if you're not in the Lord. You know, we can all admire our quality. We've all got different characteristics, and some are stronger in whatever characteristics in different places. But that's not the strength I'm talking about. I'm talking about the strength that comes from the Lord, the strength that he gives to the weak, to those who have no might. He increases strength. Isaiah 40 there. So he wants to quench the joy of the Lord in our lives. The devil knows that if you lose your joy, you won't be able to access God's throne. You won't be able to access his presence. So this garment of praise. So we're going to look at a scripture in Exodus 28. I'll just give this as a background. Exodus 28. In fact, all of Exodus 28 and 29 is talking about Aaron and his sons and the garments that were made for them. Exodus 28, take Aaron your brother and his sons with him from among the children of Israel, that he may minister to me as a priest. So we all, what does the Bible say about all of us? We're kings and priests. Our first ministry is to the Lord. You know, maybe you want to minister to men, but you better learn first of all to minister to the Lord. And your ministry to anybody else is going to come out of your ministry to the Lord. It's first of all to minister to the Lord. So we've been called. And you shall make, verse 2, holy garments for Aaron your brother for glory and for beauty. Isn't that nice? They look really good. You know, for a Christian to look good, we've got to wear those garments that God's provided. You shall speak to all who are gifted artisans in whom I fill with the spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that he may minister to me as a priest. In other words, if you haven't got these garments on, you cannot minister to God. All right? You need these garments. And, you know, so, and these are garments, just as we heard this morning. They're not just to come here Sunday morning and minister Sunday morning. We can all put on a great show. We can all be super spiritual in the house of God, but I'm talking about in your home. I'm talking about that's where your ministry to the Lord first starts. It's in your own home. Then prove it in the house of God and everywhere you go. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul will make its boast in the Lord. You see, a man who's put on that garment. King David was a man who knew how to put on and keep on the garments that God had provided for him. So that he may minister. And these are the garments which they shall make: a breastplate, an ephod, a robe, a skillfully woven tunic, a turban, and a sash. And they shall make holy garments for Aaron your brother and his sons, that he may minister to me as priest. And they shall take the gold, talking about God, the divine nature, blue, that talks about the Holy Spirit, authority from above, purple, that's kingly, that's the kingly, and scarlet thread, what's that? It's the blood of Jesus Christ, that's the blood that makes us clean, and the fine linen, the Bible says the fine linen is the righteousness, is our righteousness. Christ is our righteousness. And they're to make all these garments, and they're to put them on Aaron and on his sons after him, that they may minister to God in those garments. And, you know, just reading all through there in chapter 29 and verse 29, it says this: and the holy garments of Aaron shall be his sons after him, to be anointed in them and to be consecrated in them. So if you haven't got those garments on, the anointing won't flow. The anointing won't fall. We've got to come clothed. The anointing doesn't come on because we're so clever or we know so much. The anointing comes on because we have put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's He that lives. And that anointing always flows upon him. The anointing won't flow if we haven't got those garments on. Now, you might think, well, I'm in a terrible situation. I'm in a bad place. You know, I don't feel like praising God. I haven't got much to praise. You don't know what my husband's like. See, I gave her opportunity. You don't know what my wife's like. You don't know what my kids are like. You don't know what my workplace is like. You don't know what my boss is like. Whatever it may be, you don't know what my situation is really like. But he's given us these garments. Now listen, the anointing comes on those garments. So here, that's why I said the joy. You know, to appoint, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of hope. Once you've got those garments on, the anointing oil comes on, and the joy of the Lord is our strength. What does Philippians Paul say? Be anxious for nothing. He's the one that tells us to be anxious for nothing, but he also says, rejoice in the Lord at most times, always. Or what about when all hell breaks loose? What about when you become bankrupt? You have money troubles? All times. And the anointing comes. And I tell you, this is a supernatural. I'm going to tell you a couple of stories. And one was a friend of mine. This is when I realized that the devil is real, and he has spiritual powers and spiritual weapons. And it proved to me that we need not only these garments on, but we need, as Paul said, you know, the breastplate of faith and love and righteousness. It's a breastplate, it's a protective thing, isn't it? The shield of faith we need, the sword of the Spirit, our feet shod. You know, people want to walk. People want to walk in the Spirit. Everybody wants to walk in the Spirit, but you know, you're not going to do it unless you got your shoes on. Yeah, well, tender feet if we haven't got our shoes on. So we've got to have this. So I remember a friend of mine in a difficult circumstance had his girlfriend that rejected him, told him that she slept with somebody else, and talk about a shock to find out. And he was praying for her salvation continually, and they got this report. How would you feel? How'd you feel, guys, girls? How would you feel about that? I've just slept with somebody else. Well, he got this news about 10 o'clock at night. He jumps in his car, and he was driving to my place here in Mombok, and by the time he got to me, it was about 11, pretty late anyway. And all the way, he came to my door, so I opened the door, and there he was, doubled over like this. David, David. And what's the matter? What's the matter? And he told me the story, and he said, all the way here, all I was driving along, all I wanted to do was just drive into a tree or a power pole and kill myself. And it was like he was doubled over like this. And I remember, what do we do? What do we do? And just crying out to God, how can I help? You know, how can I, pray for you? And I remember just sitting in our lounge and telling the story. I think, God, we've got to touch him. Let's pray. And he's doubled over. He couldn't see me. He was just doubled over sitting on the chair. And I remember praying, and I saw a spear. I saw a spear going through his back, coming out his chest. And, spiritually, I saw it. It's like this mental picture of a spear going through his back and into his chest. He didn't know what I was doing because he was closed eyes, head doubled, bent over. I was standing there praying, and I put my hand where I could see this spear, and I, just grabbed it, and I pulled it out. As I pulled this spear out, he literally came up with that spear being pulled out, and he lay back on the couch, sprawled out on the couch, and this huge gasp of release came out of his mouth, and he started to smile. There was such a freedom and such a liberty. There was like that, and he almost felt like laughing. It was such a freedom. And I remember thinking, how real are these demonic power right now that are trying to get a hold of us, trying to get us to look at our circumstances and our situations, what's happening to us, and allow that clothing that God has given us, the shield of faith, the righteousness he's given, that protective clothing to come off of us. You know, it's here. It's here. When we start to speak, when we start to declare things out of our mouth, it's hopeless, it's no good, you're no good. And it opens the door for the devil to get in. I was trying to think, there was another instance that I... Yes, another, and this was myself personally, talking about heaviness. I remember once in the church, I had to make a decision that, to me it was a very serious decision I had to make. And I remember it was like, if I do it, I'm damned. And if I don't do it, I'm damned. It was that kind of a decision to make. And I remember the weight, incredible weight that was on me. It was like I was going to die either way. It was going to destroy either way. And I remember I came into the church here on a Saturday evening, and it was before we had the extension. I remember praying in there and this weight, and I'm trying to work it out and trying to pray, God, show me what to do. I don't know what to do. And I was just struggling, this incredible weight that was on me. And suddenly I realized, I said, God, I just want to serve you. I just want to obey you. And I said, this is what I'm going to do. And if I'm wrong, wake me up and tell me. And this, it was just incredible. And I started laughing. I mean, it was not a funny thing that I had to do. I'm telling you now, it was not a funny thing. But that supernatural joy that I'd lost started flowing. And I thought, man, this is supernatural. This is super. And that's what we need. We need that for this generation. You need it. Look, I can rejoice when I get $1,000, $1,000,000 from a bank. Every single one of us. I can rejoice when I jump on my motorbike and go bush bashing. What a pitiful. But that's pitiful in comparison with the joy of the Lord, which is not, it's not dependent on any circumstance. It's not dependent on anything happening, good or bad, to anybody else or myself. It's dependent on one thing and one thing alone, and that's the presence of God. In his presence is fullness of joy, and at his right hand are pleasures forevermore. In his presence is fullness of joy, and at his right hand are pleasures forevermore. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, and has not lifted up his soul to an idol. You know what? In other words, praising things of this world. Well, right there, every single one of us has totally failed. Our hands are not clean. Our hearts are not pure. Every single one of us has lifted up our soul to an idol or to vanity, as the scripture said. So we do not deserve to ascend the hill of the Lord or even stand in his holy place. But I want to tell you something. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, did it all for you and for me. He did it for me. He did it for you. He ascended on high. That's why John G. Lake said, Jesus Christ is at once the sinless descent of God into man and the spotless ascent of God, of man into God. Praise God. He is my righteousness. He is your righteousness. In him, you can stand in the presence of his glory with exceeding great joy. Because he has purified my heart, he has cleansed my hands, he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. And I'm going to put on that garment of praise, because that's when the anointing comes and the oil of joy comes upon you. And it's through his strength that we're going to be able to do all that he has said. That's why Isaiah said, those who wait on the Lord, those who wait on the Lord, what are they doing? They're ministering to the Lord. They're not coming grovelling. You know, in the Philippines, I don't know whether they still do it there, but in the Philippines, they have once a year, Easter time, they have people, because they're so, it's a religious spirit. They see what Christ has done. People literally crucify themselves, trying to impress God. They crawl on their knees to the church for I don't know, for hundreds of metres until their knees are red raw and bleeding. And the attitude is, if I can prove to God how contrite I am, how I'm beating myself, Lord, they whip themselves till blood comes out. Now, you've got to admire their religiousness, but it's not what God says. God says, I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. See, it's not about you, how good you are or how bad you are. It's about what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for you in our place. He identified with us 100% and he paid the price for all of our sins, all of our failures. That's why how lovely on the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, announcing peace, proclaiming news of happiness, declaring our God reigns. The anointing of the Spirit is upon us to bring good news to the poor. Not to tell them you've got to do some more work and prove to God how repentant you are, but believe, only believe, Jesus Christ paid. Look, I want to break off every spirit of heaviness. You know, we can entertain that spirit of heaviness. We can have things that happen in our life and come to a conclusion. You know, Job nearly came to that conclusion. Man, if somebody had a reason to do it, don't you think Job would have had a reason to do it? He, in one, well, a couple of days, I don't know how many times, somebody can correct me, but in a very short space of time, several days, he was a very wealthy man. He lost all of his belongings. His house was blown down in a whirlwind. Everything was destroyed. He lost his sons. He lost his daughters. He lost everything. No, I won't go there. He lost everything. And then he's afflicted with sores all over his body. And I'm talking about sores that are painful, to the point where he sits in the ashes and he's got a bit of broken pottery and he's scraping his sores, trying to find relief. Now, his friends come from all over the place, seven of them. No, it wasn't seven. It was for 7 days. His friends come round and they sat for 7 days without saying anything because they saw how great his grief was. 7 days sitting with him. And then they started to tell him why it must have all happened. And Job, and just think about how the devil was using this, to provoke Job what? Just one thing the devil was wanting to do, that out of his mouth he would curse God and die. And he refused to do that. Boy, he came close. There was a lot of complaining came out of his mouth. A lot of, why, God? You know, I thought you were just. I thought you were fair. Why are you letting this go? Why are you allowing this? Why is this happening? He came close, very close. But he didn't. He refused to curse God and die. Now, I want to tell you, your mouth is incredibly important. Your mouth, the Bible calls your glory. Your glory. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. My glory, the psalmist says, my glory and the lifter of my head. The psalmist says that in the times of trial, in the times where everything seems to be going wrong, that spirit of heaviness is wanting to come on you and blind you to what God has for you. And that's the time to put on that garment. In fact, never take it off. You know, as Aaron in Exodus 29 says, when they put on the garments, they anoint him and consecrate in the garments, and the son who becomes priest in his place shall put them on for 7 days when he enters the tabernacle of meeting to minister in the holy place. You know, I want to talk about the 7 days, the eighth day, is, you know, the seventh day he's coming back, that we're to continually have on those garments. Don't take them off. Don't just put them on when you come to church. You wear them for the whole time. You wear them at all times. You wear them in your home, in your workplaces, and you refuse to curse to God. You refuse to complain, to murmur. You will bless the Lord. You know, we know all of this stuff. We can read the scripture. You know why God got a hold of King David to rule all Israel? You know what he had to do in his life? He was a young shepherd boy out on his own, playing his harp, singing praises to God. He got a revelation that these garments weren't just a material thing. He realized that these garments were a spiritual thing, and he would put them on. He'd start singing songs to God, praising God, blessing God. He might have felt, I'm the youngest in the family. All my brothers are doing great things. Here I am out in the wilderness doing nothing. Nobody notices me, but he starts praising God. He starts worshiping God. The Spirit of God would come on him. And God says, there's my man. That's the one that I want to lead all of my nation into that revelation of what that priesthood was all about, the garments of praise, and put them on. And then, so he's anointed king. And he said, my man, I've arrived now. So what does God allow to happen? He allows him to be chased, not only by the enemies, but chased by his own people. They're all trying to kill him. It got to the point where he says, I'm going to die. He's hiding in caves and dens and running for his life. Gets to the point where he feels, I'm going to die. But God says, no, you've got to learn to praise me no matter what goes on. When you've learnt that, then you've learnt. I love Psalm 18 where he writes this psalm and says, on the day that the Lord delivered him from all of his enemies and from the hand of King Saul. King Saul, in his mind and heart, was never his enemy. He was grieved over it, but he called him the Lord's anointed. He wouldn't curse God's people. He wouldn't speak ill of any of God's people, no matter what they were doing or going through at that time. What happened to King Saul? King Saul, the Bible says, the Spirit of the Lord departed from him, and an evil spirit, a distressing, a heavy spirit came on him and motivated him to what? Throw javelins and all this stuff. Well, I'm not going to be motivated by that spirit, and neither are you. There's an oil of joy. I've only just touched on this. Can we stand up, please? I'm going to finish here. But I want to pray. I want to pray. All you that mourn, who knows that song? Put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Not going to see. Put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Lift up your voice to God. I want to encourage you, start reading Psalms. Start reading these Psalms of victory. This morning I put all these markers in my Bible. God was, the scripture was just leaping out. I think, oh, praise God. Yeah, anyway, I won't get into them. Except for one, and Pam read it out anyway, which is so good, and all the songs that we sang this morning. Psalm 95. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully. Where's the shouting in this house? Where's the shout? The shout of a king is in this place. Where's the shout? I tell you, when God does something in your heart, you want to shout. Shout unto God. Clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. If we get excited about a football game and a goal being kicked, how much more when the King of Glory defeated every foe, every obstacle, and brought us right into the presence of God? Shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout, oh, there it is again, joyfully to him with psalms. For the Lord is the great God and the great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The heights of the hills are his also. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. We've got to enter his courts with praise. And come, worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice. If you haven't got that garment on, you're not going to hear his voice. If you haven't got that oil of joy flowing, you're not going to see him and you're not going to hear him. Well, do you want to hear him? Do you want to see him? Don't do what that religious thing in the Philippines do. Don't flog yourself. Stop looking at yourself. That's your problem. Poor me. I can't do it. Oh, you don't know how much I struggle. Well, the flesh was always weak. That's what it is, the flesh. The spirit is willing. The spirit's willing. Come, let's worship and bow down. Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. You can't praise God when you've got a hard heart. You can't praise God when that spirit of heaviness is there. But he's given you a garment. And I would challenge every single one of you, start to do it. Start in your home. That's where you start. Start in your house, your house. Men, every man, you have been called to come before, to pray, lifting up holy hands. Why? Because the blood of Jesus cleanses your hands and your heart. And if you're going to... So think about it. You're lifting up hands. It's praise, isn't it? That's what it is. Come on, man, you're the head of your household. You don't have to prove it. You're just there because the love of God's going to flow through for your household. You don't have to prove you're the man of the house. Let God do the proving. He's well able to do. Tell you, you've got a joy in your heart. That affects people. Hallelujah. All right, we're just going to close in prayer. But I do want to pray for anybody, and that spirit of heaviness is on you, and I want to break that off. And I want to tell you, you can shake it off, and you're going to put on that garment of praise. And if that's your decision today to do that, you're going to put on those garments that he has provided. I tell you what, you are going to be on a pathway that's just going to get brighter and brighter until that perfect day. No more wallowing in the flesh. No more wallowing, I'm so bad, I'm so useless. No. You're just going to praise God. Father, thank you. Thank you for your word. The entrance of your word brings light. Sorry, I've got to read one more psalm. The entrance of your word brings light. You know, if this applied to anybody here in this place, those prophetic words that came out, but that foundation's being broken up, getting rid of the junk, lazy boy furniture like that? You're going to get rid of that lazy boy furniture out of your house. This now's the time to do it. Vindicate me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. O deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man, for you are the God of my strength. Why do you cast me off? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? Come on, wake up. You're asking this. Why do you go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? Now listen to what the psalmist says. Oh, send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Not your mourning or grizzling or griping. His word. Send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your tabernacle. Then I will go to the altar of God. Wasn't that prophetic word that Karen had? Where's the altar? Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy. And on the harp I will praise you, O God, my God. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me, miserable? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. Father, we thank you. We praise you. Lord, we put on those garments of praise. And I thank you for that anointing oil that's pouring out. You've given us the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And we're not going to wear that garbage of the enemy. We're not going to wear that oppression, that condemnation, that heaviness. Lord, we're going to put on your wonderful garments that you have provided for before us and walk in the light of your truth. Thank you, Lord. Let them lead each one of us here and guide each one of us. Let them bring each one of us in this house to your holy hill. And Lord, offer those sacrifices, Lord, that are pleasing and acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said, amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening. And please check out our website or come and visit us at Mombole Christian Fellowship.